Proverbs, the 4th chapter, verse 20. My son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes, keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Notice what it says again, my son, attend. Put the word of God first place. Not what you're feeling, not what you're seeing, not what you're hearing. The word has to be first place. You have to attend to the word. Glory be unto God. Because most of the time, and I'll say that again, most of the time, the majority of the time, what you see with your eyes, hear with your ears, and feel with your hands, or your body, is contrary to the word of the living God. And so you need to attend to the word so you won't yield to those five physical senses. Hallelujah. Let me tell you what, if the five physical senses were so dandy and so mighty and so important, they'd be going with us to heaven. Glory to God. But for some reason, this body's going to be putting on immortality. And let me tell you what, when it puts on immortality, I'm going to be a shade better looking than I am now. Glory be unto God. Hallelujah. Praise be unto the Lord. Verse 20. My son, attend to my words. Hallelujah. Well, some of you should say amen, because that means you're going to be a shade better looking when you go. Amen. My son, attend to my words. Incline. I need all the help I can get. And some of you do too. Glory to God. My son, attend to my words. Right, Granville? Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Notice this. Attend to the words. Incline your ears to his sayings. Because his sayings are going to be saying something differently than what you're going to hear with your natural ear, what you're going to touch, what you're going to feel, what you're going to see. His word, the majority of time, and his sayings are going to be different. Because this life screams out pain, but his word screams out healed. This world screams out lack, but his word screams out provision.
Amen.
Boy, I'm glad I came already. I tell you what, I'm going from one anointing to the next anointing, and I'm thankful when it gets here. Glory be unto God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now, some of you don't understand why sometimes I just take my time on this passage of Scripture. I'm waiting for the anointing. The Bible says to wait for your ministry. Well, sometimes the waiting occurs here in the pulpit. So yeah, just don't get in a hurry. I take my time and anointing, and I know it when it comes. Anointing's the Holy Ghost. And it's already starting to come, so I'm about ready to go now. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let them what? Them words, them sayings, let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. Keep what? Those words and sayings. For they are life, those words and sayings, are life unto those that find them. They're life unto those that find them, which means, once again, that you're going to have to do some searching and some looking. This is doing us a whole lot of good, isn't it?
Amen.
We're going to have to do some searching. This stuff just doesn't fall on you like ripe cherries off of a tree. Hallelujah. It just won't do it. I mean, some people, they just let a little thing keep them from getting into the Word. Just a little thing. I tell you what, you got to pay the price. Hallelujah. I mean, I was fighting some things in my physical body a month or so ago, and I told my wife a couple of days ago, I said, some people aren't willing to pay the price. And I said, paying the price is spending about 3 or 4 hours a day in the Word of the living God, and you pay the price, and God will approve of your faith. And everything that you've desired, you'll see with your eyes. Glory to God. If you pay the price and get into the Word. But that generally means something has to give. For they are life unto those that find them, and medicine, health, medicine, to all their flesh. Not just their pinky, all of it. Glory be unto God. Whew. Now I'm ready to preach. Glory to God. Now, for some of you who weren't here last night, we've gone on beyond Matthew. Turn with me to Luke, if you would, please. The fourth chapter. Luke, the fourth chapter. Now, remember we said in John 14:10 in the Greek text, "The word that I speak not of myself," Jesus said, "but my Father that dwelleth in me speaketh them. And the works that I do not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me doeth them." The Lord wants us to know that anything He said was God speaking, and anything He did was God doing it. Glory to God. Are you listening now? Then He went on to say in Hebrews 1:2, "God hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son." So when God wanted to get something over to the people of Israel 2,000 years ago, and then it was handed down to us, glory to God, by covenant, He spoke through the mouth of His Son. If He wanted them to see how God acted. I keep saying this because sometime there's going to be a light go off in somebody. That if God wanted to show people how He acted, He did it through Jesus. And since He's the same yesterday and today and forever, He's still doing it through Jesus right now. Well, because He said, "If two or three of you are just gathered together in My name, there I am in My Shekinah presence right in the middle of you." So He's still here, and since He never changes, He's still healing today. Glory to God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. It'll do some of you good to get every one of these tapes and listen to them about 10 times. Thank you, brother. Hallelujah. Just because you said hallelujah, nobody else did, I'm giving you all the tapes to this month. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. Just because you responded. Hallelujah. And just because I responded to it and said hallelujah, I'm giving myself a free set. Glory to God. And the rest of you are out to lunch on that. Look for glory to God. I'll do it too. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now they're going to say hallelujah about 20 more times. Just see what else I might hear. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. We're in Luke 4. Hallelujah. Verse 14. "And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee, and there went out a fame of Him through all the region round about. And He taught in the synagogues, being glorified of all. And He came to Nazareth, where He had been brought up. And as His custom was, He went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read." Okay, Lord, I'll do it just like that. Verse 17. "And there was delivered unto Him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when He had opened the book, He found the place where it was written, 'The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord.'" Reading out of Isaiah 61, He found that place, making proclamation that the Scriptures had been fulfilled. But not only was it just the words of the Holy Ghost through the mouth of the prophet Isaiah, it is now becoming, glory to God, it has now become the words and the sayings of our Lord Jesus Christ under the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Jesus, this is Jesus' ministry defined right here. As I got into this and knew that this is what the Lord wanted me to minister on for last evening, I thought we would go straight to preach the acceptable year of the Lord, but no. I stopped at to preach deliverance to the captive. That's what we began to speak on last night. That's what we will continue speaking on tonight. Jesus was anointed to preach deliverance to the captives. I am anointed, since I am in Jesus, to preach deliverance to the captives. You, since the anointing abides within you, are anointed to preach deliverance to the captive because Jesus is indwelling you. You at the workplace can share Jesus as a deliverer, and people will be delivered from that which keeps them captive. Hallelujah. Well, that's a little better response. Glory to God. Amen. Job, if you would please, chapter 42. Job chapter 42. Just because you need to be in Job, some of you, two nights in a row. So you get your mind off of you. You ought to get last night's tape because I got National Geographic and Discovery Channel on you. I got Graphic. It was the Graphic Channel. Chapter 42, verse 10. Now see, they don't have to get the tape because they got it free because he said hallelujah. Glory to God. Chapter 42, 10. So they get all 30 nights. Okay. And you'll listen to them again, won't you? Amen. Chapter 42, 10. And the Lord Jehovah, the redemptive God, the covenant God, the God that signed the contract, and that God, and the Lord turned the captivity of Job. So Jesus was sent to preach deliverance to the captive. Job's captivity was turned. One of the main aspects of Job's captivity was he was one sick and diseased dude. Another aspect is he lost everything he had. Another aspect, including his family and his money. And we got into last night why that was. We went through, I don't know, about 20. I could look. I have the notes right here. 17 things that Job let come out of his mouth that did not reinforce his healing. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I don't know why I'm bringing out my notes every night, but this is the notes I've preached so far. Glory to God. That's enough to get about anybody healed. And the rest of them will have enough in the next 12 days. Glory be unto God. Hallelujah. Now, glory to God. One aspect was sickness, and since that's the topic of discussion and study here, that's the one we're going to look at. Sickness is captivity. Did you hear that? Sickness is captivity. Go with me to Job 2. Job chapter 2. Some people don't know this. Some have heard it, still don't know it. I mean, let me ask you this question. If you knew absolutely that you had Satan involved in your life, wouldn't you do something to stop it? Well, some people go to bed every night with the devil attacking their body. And thank God for pills and all that kind of stuff. And they'll take their pills and they'll do all that. But let me tell you what, they never address Satan. They're not going to let Satan just mess with their body. I mean, God, not just let Satan mess with your body. I mean, take your pills and then say, Satan, take your hands off of my body. I don't want you dabbling with my body. All right, now, did you hear me? Thank God for pills. Some people would be dead if it wasn't for pills. Thank God for Jesus. Now look at chapter 2, verse 7. So went Satan, everybody say Satan, forth from the presence of the Lord and smote Job with sore boils, its skin tumors. The botch. And smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his foot and unto his crown. He was covered with boils. I've known one person to have a boil, and that guy was like in bed for a week. Had a big boil right on his waistline and his back. So he was in terrible, excruciating pain with that one boil. It was about that big around. But this guy had him from his feet to the top of his head, and Satan is the one that struck him, smote him with this disease, this sickness. We looked last night at Acts 10:38. It says that Jesus went about healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Job was smote by Satan with the boils. Sickness, oppression, because Jesus healed all that were oppressed of the devil. Luke 13:16, Jesus said, "And ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has bound, lo, these 18 years be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day?" It said that Satan bound the woman who was bowed over for 18 years with some arthritic condition, and Jesus loosed her. Job was smitten by Satan with disease. It said that Jesus went about healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Healing means sickness and disease. The devil is responsible. Then Luke the doctor tells us in his gospel that Jesus said that the woman had been bound, put in bondage by Satan to this disease. Three witnesses that Satan is responsible for sickness and disease. It's not, does not come from God, never has, never will. God doesn't have it in His kingdom. God only has health and healing in His kingdom. I don't care what, I mean, this is in my belly. I've got to say it, my brothers and sisters. I don't care what another preacher might have said, or 10 other preachers said, or 100 other preachers said. God is not responsible for sickness, disease, deformity. He is not responsible. It comes from the devil, and Jesus wants to make you whole. That is just it. That is the story. That's why we're here. And when you put your head on the bed at night, say, "Satan, you don't have any right to my body because Jesus wants me well." Glory to God. Hallelujah. So Satan is the author of sickness. And Job was in captivity. Now we began to look last night, or look pretty thoroughly, into why it happened. And in Job 3 we find out, verse 25, I'm going to read to you out of the Amplified Bible. "For the thing which I greatly fear comes upon me, and that of which I am afraid befalls me." He tells us why. Fear had opened the door to the enemy. "For the thing which I greatly fear comes upon me, and that of which I am afraid befalls me." Let me tell you what, that's not the only reason. I'm not saying it's the only reason. It's one of the reasons. We'll probably get into some more of the reasons at a later date if we have time. If not, we'll go 60 days. Not really. Hallelujah. "For the thing which I greatly fear comes upon me, and that of which I am afraid befalls me. I was not or am not at ease, nor had I or have I rest, nor was I or am I quiet. Yet trouble came and still comes upon me." The man was in fear. And we began to look at fear and its foul offspring. Its foul offspring, or Satan's foul offspring, worry, uneasiness, being anxious, anxiety and fear. And let me give you these definitions quickly once again. Worry means to feel uneasy or troubled. He said he was not at ease. To feel uneasy or troubled. To cause to feel anxious, distressed, or troubled. Uneasy means lacking ease, comfort, or a sense of security. Now, ease means freedom from worry, pain, or agitation. Anxious means worried or distressed. It is synonymous with anxiety. Anxiety means intense fear or dread lacking a clearly defined cause or specific threat. Fear means alarm and agitation caused by the expectation or realization of danger. So notice through the word study that words appear. I just defined the words that appeared. It appears in another definition. And it shows a link. These are like the evil quintuplets joined at the hip, if you will. They are evil, they are satanic. God never inspired a day of fear. God never inspired a second of anxiety. God never inspired a second of being uneasy. a second of worry. These are totally foreign to God. Totally foreign. I'm going to say it again, totally foreign. Completely foreign to God. And they are what opened up the door to sickness and disease as well as poverty and all other kinds of things. I will tell you this, fear will cause bad stuff to happen in your life. Fear of not getting better and dying of disease will not get you well. It'll speed the process. We can find that out as we go on. These are from Satan. We looked at Genesis, the 3rd chapter, verse 10 last night. When God came looking for Adam, Adam and Eve were hiding from God. God said, Adam, what's going on with you? And he said, I was afraid. The first thing that entered in to this earth when man fell, when he transgressed the command of God and ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, fear came in to this realm. He was afraid, which means he was worried about what God would do to him. He and Eve were very anxious. Anxiety set in. That's why they were hiding behind the bush. Great care came upon them, and they were very uneasy with the situation. Glory be unto God. We looked at some clinical findings that I discovered in my studies. Let me read it to you one more time. We're going to just do this review because I just sense that some people need to hear it again. The consequences of worry, anxiety, fear, taking care. I found this in a clinical study in some research that I was doing. Every system in your body is affected by worry. In addition to raising blood pressure and increasing blood clotting, worry can prompt your liver to produce more cholesterol, all of which can raise your risk of heart attack and stroke. Muscle tension can give rise to headaches, back pain, and other body aches. Worry can also trigger an increase in stomach acid and either slow or speed up muscle contractions in your intestines. In other words, it can do a number on your gut, which can lead to stomach aches, constipation, diarrhea, gas, or heartburn. Worry can affect your skin, rash, or itch. It can impact your respiratory system and aggravate asthma. Growing evidence even suggests that chronic worry can compromise your immune system, making you more vulnerable to bacteria, viruses, perhaps even cancer. So just in the natural sense, this spiritual force of worry, it's a spirit of worry, will cause terrible things to happen to our natural body. Worry and fear and anxiety and care and being uneasy will take us to a place that God's anointing cannot reach, just like the diet did. And we want to make ourselves available to the anointing of God. We want to get all the stuff out of the way that might be hindering God's anointing. We can tie God's hands and make things impossible for God to do. Are you listening? So we need to just make sure that worry is eradicated, fear is eradicated out of our life, and that's what we're going to get in tonight. We're going to give you principles that you can apply every day to your life, and this stuff works over and over and over again. But first, remember Matthew 6:25. It said in the Amplified, Jesus said, "Stop being perpetually uneasy, anxious, and worried about your life." Stop it, he said. Stop it. Which means, since he's a just God, if he said to stop it and we couldn't, he would be unjust. But since he's just and he says stop it, then it's possible for me to stop worrying. It's possible for me to stop being afraid. I don't have to be afraid of the boogeyman every time I go into the room. Parents need not teach their children to be afraid of stuff. Verse 31 of chapter 6 of Matthew, the Amplified Bible. Therefore, do not worry or be anxious. Don't get anxiety. Don't do it, he said. Do not do it. Since he's just, that must mean that it's possible for us. Verse 34 in the Amplified Bible says, so do not worry or be anxious about tomorrow. I mean, it's one thing not to worry about today, but don't even worry about tomorrow. Don't be anxious about tomorrow. Don't have any anxiety about tomorrow. Don't take any care about tomorrow. Just don't do it, Jesus is saying. Oh, but you don't know what we're facing, Mark. Don't do it. But you don't know. Don't do it. You don't know what I'm facing tomorrow, and I'm not worrying about it. Glory be. Oh, hallelujah. Glory to God. Luke 8, verse 50, Jesus said, fear not, believe only. So there are opposed spiritual forces. They're in direct opposition to each other. Fear not, believe only. Mark 4:39 said, why are you so fearful? How is it you have no faith? My brothers and sisters, faith and fear are opposing forces. So, let's eradicate fear, worry, and anxiety out of our life and quit opening the door to sickness and disease. He came, he was anointed to preach deliverance to the captive. That's what we're doing tonight. Now, one of the great passages of Scripture in all the Bible in dealing with fear can be found in the book of Nehemiah. So everybody go with me to Nehemiah. Glory, glory, glory. Move back a couple of chapters from Job. And are you ready? How about the rest of you? Hallelujah. Nehemiah, the fourth chapter. We're going to notice the rantings of the evil one, Sanballat, who was representative of your enemy, Satan. When you see the enemies of Israel, just think Satan. Okay? When you're studying the Old Testament and you find the enemies of Israel, just think Satan. Okay? It's a picture for it. But it came to pass in verse 1 that when Sanballat heard that we builded the wall, stop, go back a few centuries. Actually, 70 years. Israel had been disobedient. God, because they were disobedient, and they were disobedient because God said that the land had to rest 1 year out of every seven. It had to have a sabbatical year. So they farmed the land 6 years. On the seventh year, they didn't farm that piece of land. And there were reasons why. The nutrients would come back in the land. The food would be healthier. Wouldn't stress out the land. Everything in God gets a Sabbath rest. They didn't do it for 490 years. So they owed God 70 years of rest for the land. Because of their disobedience in many other areas, not just that one, they were conquered by a foreign power. The greatest of all curses of Deuteronomy 28, was that Israel would be taken into captivity and plucked off of their land if they were disobedient to God. Well, that's happened a number of times through their history. This time, the Babylonians came in to the Judean kingdom, snatched them up off the land, took them into captivity in Babylon, which is modern-day Iraq, and there they stayed for 70 years. Many stayed there longer than that. Some decided not to come back to the land of promise. And so we had a situation that for 70 years the land rested. It got its 1 year out of every seven over that 490 years. But then God began to deal with Ezra the priest, began to deal in the heart of Nehemiah, who was just basically a high-ranking official for the leader of Babylon or the Medo-Persian Empire. And here, something began to happen. God began to work in his heart, and Nehemiah made the trek from Babylon back into the land of Israel, surveyed the ruins of the destroyed city. God moved upon his heart, and he began to build back the walls of the city so that it could once again be inhabited by the Jewish people. Now, the inhabitants that had come into the land, not too dissimilar from what we have with the Arabs right now in Israel. while the Jews were out in the diaspora, while they were in other nations because of disobedience, others came and set up their households in the land of God. It doesn't mean it's theirs, my brothers and sisters, because God gave it to the Jewish people. And so the same thing happened here. So Sanballat, that gets us to Sanballat. And Sanballat heard that we builded the wall. He was wroth and took great indignation and mocked the Jews. The devil is a mocker. He mocks you every time that you are hurting in your body and you start to stand on the word of God just like Nehemiah has done. And he says, every time a pain hits you, I told you you weren't healed. He's mocking you. He's mocking God. And he spake before his brethren and the army of Samaria and said, what do these feeble Jews? I'm going to be making some notes, making some comments out of the Amplified Bible. In the Amplified, basically, what are these feeble people? Who are these feeble people? Next, will they fortify themselves? The Amplified says, will they restore things at will? The third thing or that it says in the Amplified Bible, will they try to bribe their God with sacrifices? The fourth thing, will they finish up in a day? The fifth thing, will they revive the stones out of the heaps? Now let me make some comments on it, because the devil, my brothers and sisters, is amazingly consistent. If you can see what he does at one time, he is going to do it basically the same way every time. We were told not to be ignorant of his devices. We have got to know how our enemy reacts. We've got to know how he acts and what he does. How do you think we went over there in Iraq, our armies, and won such a decisive battle so quickly? Because we knew what they were going to do before they did it. We knew how our enemy was going to react. So we need to know how our enemy is going to react and do just like the Lord says. We cannot be ignorant of his devices. Listen to this. The enemy came and said, you are so weakened. You are feeble people. You failed before. You will fail again. Has the enemy ever said that to you? You failed before. You will fail again. Well, then that right there starts the process of concern and worry, because people begin to examine that. You are weakened. You're feeble. You don't have the strength to do this. You were taken away in captivity. You failed God before. You're going to fail him again. The next thing, will they restore things at will? The enemy comes and says, just because the Bible says that you can have the things that you will, just because the Bible says you can have the things that you want, just because the Bible says you can have the things that you desire, your life is a mess. You can't restore it. It will always be a mess. Your parents were a mess. You're a mess. And your children will be a mess. You will not be able to restore your life. You just can't do what you want to do. Every time people face sickness in their bodies, poverty in their lives, the enemy is going to show up and tell you that health cannot be restored and that prosperity can never be restored. I could ask for a show of hands, and anyone that is truthful, every time they feel that lump, this will never be restored. This could be the big one. Every time they look at the unpaid bill, this will never be restored. soon as that thought is meditated on, my brothers and sisters, something's going to happen. Worry, concern, and care, anxiety, anxiousness, fretting, all those other brothers and sisters of fear. The third item, will they try to bribe their God with sacrifices? The enemy will come and say, so the preacher said the sacrifice of praise should be offered up before you actually see it. That's such a waste of your time. Praise will not do anything for you. You're just going off that man's words to try to get God to do something, to try to bribe God. And when it doesn't work, I'm going to say, I told you so, loser. Every time the enemy comes and you remember what the Word says and you try to lift up your hands to the Lord, has He ever come to you and said, this isn't doing one bit of good? Anybody? But Pastor said, I know what Pastor said. Pastor's a lunatic. He's there telling you this. Pastor's a lunatic. It won't work. He's a loser. Losers breed losers. You're a loser. Might not be the same words, but it's there. You get the enemy says, Pastor just doesn't know what you're going through. Oh. Who's saying that? That's just the enemy. Enemy trying to bring concern, fear. The pastor does pretty much know what people are going through. The pastor also knows what's going to get them through it. The Word. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Well, they finish up in a day. The devil comes. Believe you receive when you pray. Huh. What things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. When do you believe that you receive? When you pray. That means you got it that day. Ha! The devil says. Do you think you actually have it then? Do you see it? No. Well, if you don't see it, you don't have it. Loser. And you think you've got it now, you can say, thank God I have it now all you want, but you don't. You don't have it now. Has He ever said that to you? Saints. Oh, I thank you, Lord, I have it now on the inside. You don't have it now because you can't see it. Oh, Lord, I thank you, I thank you, Lord. I call things to be not as though they were. I thank you, Lord, I have healing now. Hell, my body's healed now. My body's healed. But you're a lunatic. You don't have it now. And so you start meditating on His words, the devil's words, and the next thing, concern, worry, and fear begin to come into the picture. Now, the fifth thing, will they revive the stones out of the heaps? The enemy will come to you. Do you think you can actually revive your life out of the heaps of trouble you have made for yourself? Do you think you can actually revive your life out of the heaps of trouble you have made for yourself and you're now living in? You're sick. You're poor. Accept it, loser. You can't do anything to change it. This is what the enemy says. Not what God says. It's what the enemy says. You're sick. You're poor. Accept it. Get into agreement with me, saith Satan. You loser, you can't do anything about it. You can't do anything to change it. And neither can your God. Because He doesn't know what you're going through. And by the way, your preacher is a pathological liar. I tried what Pastor said and it didn't work. It must not be true. What's trying got to do with it? Doing it. And doing it tomorrow. And doing it the next day. Doing it the next day. Doing it the next day. How many of you, you mothers, like the first time or second time you fed your baby, they spit up? Anybody's baby spit up, lift your hand. Aren't you glad you say, well, they didn't like the food. They tried it, so I'm never going to feed them again. problem. Wouldn't be sitting there smiling. But yet with the word, well, it didn't work. We just kind of spit it up and dribbled down our chin. It didn't work. So they never go back to it again. Just keep going back and eating, and the day's going to come when Autumn's not going to be spitting up on everything. Glory to God. And she's going to be able to go to the table and just feed her face by herself. That's what we're striving for. Glory be unto God. Hallelujah. So just keep going to the table. By the way, your pastor lied to you. He's a pathological liar. Don't listen to the man. This is what the devil does. His tricks are the same. The words might be different, but it's the same thing. How do I know? I'm a man subject to like passions as you are, just like Elijah said. I have a brain just like you do, and the devil runs around me just like he does you, and he puts things in my brain just like he does you. The Bible says in James there are only two kinds of wisdom. There's the heavenly kind from above. There's the earthly, the devilish kind from beneath. There's only two kinds. You never come up with an original thought. You either get it from God's kingdom or the devil's kingdom. And all of those thoughts that come to your brain to try to bring worry and concern and fear, they didn't come from God. But we're going to teach you how to stand against those. Just because they come, as Brother Hagin says, just because a bird flies overhead doesn't mean you have to let him nest in your hair. And that's the truth. Amen. Hallelujah. Now look at verse 4. And Nehemiah prayed here. Hear, O our God, for we are despised, and turn their reproach upon their own head, and give them for a prey in the land of captivity, and cover not their iniquity, and let not their sin be blotted out from before thee. For they have provoked thee to anger before the builders, so built we the wall. Now, I want you to notice something. They were putting out all of their thoughts, the enemy was. They went to God, prayed, and they went right back to the work. So built we the wall, and all the wall was joined together under the half thereof, for the people had a mind to work. It's a mind thing. The devil working with the mind. He was going after the mind. It didn't work. But here's something you need to know about the devil. He never gives up. When the devil was tempting Jesus in the wilderness, it said that he departed from him for a season. He left him for a little bit and then came right back with the same trash again. You know, you didn't worry about it today. You might not worry about it for 6 or 7 days, and you start worrying about it again. That's the devil. You're going to have to learn how to stop worrying about it once and for all. And we're going to get insight into that here in just a second. Hallelujah. Verse 7, but it came to pass that when Sanballat and Tobiah and the Arabians, the devil, and the Ammonites and the Ashdodites heard that the walls of Jerusalem were made up and that the breaches began to be stopped, and they were very wroth. They didn't like it when you're getting someplace in God. And they all started conspiring together to come and to fight against Jerusalem and to hinder it. Nevertheless, we made our prayer unto our God and set a watch against them day and night because of them. Now notice, the enemy couldn't get in any longer because they put out a watch from the outside. But then stuff started happening from the inside. And Judah said, the strength of the bearers of burdens is decayed, and there is much rubbish, so that we are not able to build the wall. The first thing that came from the inside, from somebody everybody loved, the strength is decayed. We would say it in modern vernacular, I just can't go on. I don't have the energy. I want to change. I think I'll throw in the towel. My strength is decayed. I've done all I can do. I just can't go on. I don't have the energy. I want to change. I'll throw in the towel. The good thing is, though, brothers and sisters, we don't have to function according to our strength. Praise be unto the Lord. The next thing he said is he brought up that there was much rubbish. So from the inside, your attention is drawn to the fact that my life is a mess. I can't get it together. It works for everybody else but me. I am definitely a loser. I put myself in total agreement with you, Satan. My life is a mess. Look at me. You're thinking, we can't pay our bills. Our bodies are hurting. We're sick. Nobody likes us. Nobody wants us around. It's a mess. All I've got is rubbish. All I've got is a mess. Where do you think those thoughts come from? The enemy. You look across the street, how great my neighbor's got it. They don't even go to church. They don't tithe. And they're driving new cars. Don't give anything to God. I'm not going through what we're going through. What's the use? I'm tired. I'm going back the way it used to be. I'm leaving church. And I'm going to go take out a loan and get a new car. It's the truth. I'm speaking the truth. Oh, there's a family across the street from me. They're driving 5 new cars and a new Harley. They don't go to church. I mean, it was like for a couple of months there, I'd get up and every time I'd look over there, there'd be another new car. The guy's got the brand new Harley. And he rides it twice a year for 10 minutes. He and his wife go around the blocks, keep the battery up, and they come back and park it. It's the truth. I'm not exaggerating. I hear it belching. And they get it started, ride around the block and park it in the garage. Got a $27,000 fully dressed Harley. They don't go to church. You know, but I know the deal. Some of you will don't deserve God. My life's a mess. Are you listening? Glory to God. My life's a mess. It's just so much rubbish. Just so much rubbish. We can't go on, honey. Honey, get in agreement with us. We can't go on. Where two of us are in agreement. Honey, agree with me. We just can't go on. We have lost our strength. And pastor certainly doesn't care. Are you listening? I know what the devil tells people about the pastors. You ought to hear what he tells me about you. They just don't care. I bind you, you lying devil. They're not growing any. You're wasting your time preaching to them. Besides that, you're not very good. I mean, these are the thoughts that the devil feeds to the preacher. You think you're the only one that has thoughts about me? I have thoughts about you. Hallelujah. What do you have to do? You have to put them down. You have to put them down so you can come and put your arms around somebody and hug their neck, glory to God, and not be going. Are you listening? Amen. Pastor walks up to you to shake your hand and you go like this because all the stuff you've been thinking about him. It's the truth. I mean, the devil is lousy, but he... the same, my brothers and sisters, to every person from the beginning of the time when he started messing with Adam's mind. Amen. Showed up on the scene with Eve and said, "Hath God said? Has he really said that? You know, he's a liar. That's not really what he meant." Glory. Going on. The next thing he said, so that we are not able to build. The next thing, we are not able. Honey, put yourself in agreement with me. It's over. They're going to take everything. We're not able to do anything about it.
Our bodies are dying. It's over. We're not able to do anything. It's gone. It's finished. It's through. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. I said hallelujah. And certainly the enemy is going to win. And all we have worked for is going to cease. He'll pause a bit. P.S. It's over. Has he ever done it? I want you to notice what happens, verse 12. We're going to get to the remedy here in just a second. And it came to pass that when the Jews which dwelt by them came, they said unto us 10 times, from all places whence you shall return unto us, they will be upon you. Therefore set I in the lower places behind the wall and on the higher places. I even set the people after their families with the swords, their spears, and their bows. And I looked and rose up and said unto the nobles and to the rulers and to the rest of the people, be not ye afraid. This whole thing, my brothers and sisters, was to do nothing but bring fear, worry, and anxiety. It's the only way Satan can stop us. It's how he can inflict the greatest amount of pain on the believer. It affects our spirit. It affects our bodies. It affects the saints in ways that no other thing does. And my brothers and sisters, notice though what Nehemiah did. The first thing he did and the first thing you're going to have to do is say it. Be not afraid. When the enemy starts bringing fear, worry, and concern to you, you're going to have to say, stop. Don't be worried in Jesus' name. Don't be afraid. You're going to have to talk to it just like it's talking to you. Don't be afraid. Don't worry. Don't be anxious. Stop it with your mouth. If it's Granville, Granville's going to have to stand and say to himself, Granville, stop worrying. Granville, stop being anxious. Granville, stop taking the care of it. If it's Leanne, Leanne's going to have to talk to herself and say, Leanne, stop worrying. That's number one. I love number two. This is what I do too. Be not ye afraid of them. Remember the Lord which is great and mighty. Word terribles change meaning. Great and mighty. You're going to have to, number two, remember the Lord. One of the things that I do to combat worry and concern is I start recalling and speaking out my mouth every illustration that I can come up with out of the Word of God, where David took on Goliath, where Moses took on the entire army of the Egyptians, where Jehoshaphat defeated the enemy. You go through every scenario in the Word of God where God defeated the enemy in dire situations, my brothers and sisters, and you utter those things out of your mouth and you magnify the greatness of God. And you do it, and you do it, and you do it, and you do it. And if you have to get your Bible and start reading and jotting down things to remind you of the Lord and His greatness, you are going to have to do it. You've got to know that the Lord is greater than anything the devil's telling you. You're going to die. You're going to die. You're going to die. No wait. No wait. No wait. The anointed bones of Elisha raised a dead man. I don't have to die. All I have to do is touch the anointing. Naaman went and washed in the dirty, muddy river and came up without leprosy. The woman with the issue of blood fought her way through the crowd and touched the hem of his garment, and she was made whole. I don't have to die. The lame man at the gate in Acts 3 went walking and leaping and praising God. I don't have to die. The little girl that was 12 years old, just a word from the master, "Daughter, arise." And she that was dead lived. You're going to have to remember the greatness of the Lord. Glory be unto God. Hallelujah. The next thing it says, "And fight for your brethren and sons and your daughters, your wives and your houses." The Amplified says, "Take from God courage to fight." Take from God courage to fight. Number one, say it. Be not afraid. Number two, remember. Number three, take from God courage to fight. You have no strength outside of Him, but remember Him and get the courage to fight. Then with your mouth, you draw up a scenario of victory for yourself. You draw scenarios of victory instead of always thinking the scenarios of defeat. Hallelujah. The next one is verse 15. "And it came to pass when our enemies heard that it was known unto us and God had brought their counsel to naught, that we returned all of us to the wall, everyone unto his work." This one is so important. You got to get back to work. You've got to work. You've got to work at your jobs. You've got to work for the Lord. You've got to work in the ministry. You've got to work. Idleness breeds fear. Idleness breeds fear. Get back to the work. Do something for God. Do something for yourself. Just don't sit around the house moping around, being blue, being concerned, being worried. If the devil's attacking your mind, come out here to the church, go around the property and pick up the paper and throw it in the trash can. Do something for the Lord. Come out, sweep the sidewalks. Come out, clean the cobwebs. Do something. Be active and do something, just like they did. Because if you don't, the idle mind will allow fear in. Or just get into the Word and work in the Word. But that's coming up. "And it came to pass from that time forth that the half of my servants wrought in the work, and the other half of them held both the spears and the shields and the bows and the habergeons, and the rulers were behind all the house of Judah. They which builded on the wall and they that bear burdens with those that laid it, every one with one of his hands wrought in the work, and with the other hand held a weapon for the builders. Every one had his sword girded by his side, and so builded, and he that sounded the trumpet was by me." You're going to have to know this. The fifth thing, hold the weapon, get into the Word, take hold of the sword and speak the Word. Take hold of the Word and speak the Word. When fear comes, you're going to have your arsenal of Scriptures that you can speak. My brothers and sisters, if he's coming with you at fear with your body, you're going to have your healing Scriptures and go after it and speak the Word. I thought you were just going to like give us something we could wave our hand over our head and everything would be fine. There is no waving our hand over people's heads. It all comes the same way. You've got to be diligent in the Lord. You've got to be diligent in His Word. And you do these things, my brothers and sisters, and you can conquer worry in your life. Hallelujah. You can do it. Because Jesus said, "Fear not." That means you don't have to fear. That would be great. It'd be wonderful if that was the end of the story, but it's not. They came once, they went back to work. They came again, they got rid of the fear. Then they come again in chapter 6. This will be really quick. They came and offered to have basically a conference with Nehemiah. And in verse 11, he said, verse 10, Afterwards, I came unto the house of Shemaiah, the son of Deliah, the son of Mehetabel, something close to that, who was shut up. And he said, let us meet together in the house of God, wherein the temple, and let us shut the doors of the temple, for they will come to slay thee, yea, in the night will they come to slay thee. And I said, should such a man as I flee? And who is there that being as I am would go into the temple to save his life? I will not go in. And lo, I perceived that God had not sent him, but that he pronounced this prophecy against me, for Tobiah and Sanballat had hired him, the devil. Therefore was he hired that I should be afraid, and do so, and sin, and that they might have matter for an evil report, that they might reproach me. He came again, did the enemy, to bring fear again. He came once, didn't work, came twice, it didn't work, and he came three times. The enemy's not going to give up after one time. He's going to try to bring fear. Your body's not working quite like it used to. He's going to try to bring fear. Say, everything the doctor said is coming to pass right now in your body. It's a lie. He's trying to bring fear. You're going to have to do these things and get in the Word and say, I refuse to be afraid. The Bible is truth. God told me the truth. By whose stripes I am healed. I'm not healed tomorrow. I'm healed right now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth. I am healed. He took my infirmities. He carried, he bore my sicknesses. He did it for me. Glory be unto God. You're going to have to stand on the Word and combat the fear. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Glory to God. Because the enemy will be there again telling you it doesn't work. You failed. But the Bible says you can do all things through Christ, which strengthens you, and that includes walking free of fear, concern, and worry. Glory to God. Let's all stand.